been the chief cornerstone. You see, by mentioning them as the foundation, Paul was stressing, praise God, the historical link that bond the church to its source. And its source is Jesus Christ himself. Praise God, he was and is the chief cornerstone. And he was the very first stone in place. The one which, praise God, gave all of the others their true place. You see, it was by the blood of Jesus Christ and that the Gentiles alone with the Jews were part of a spiritual structure which is called the body of Christ. And praise God, and since we are a part of the body of Christ, it means, praise God, that we are subject to everything that the body is subject to. Somebody say, what is the body subject to? We are subject to eternal life. We are subject, praise God, to all of the glory and all of the fame. I'm talking about spiritual fame, not earthly fame, because we have too many people worried about what they are in an earthly realm. But can I remind you that Paul reminded us when he reminded the Philippian church, praise God, that I count all of these things but dung. Praise God, just to win the excellency of Jesus Christ. Paul was a man who was educated at the foot of Gamaliel. Paul could speak 12 different languages. Paul said that I am a Hebrew of Hebrew. He said, praise God, concerning the law. Praise God, I was a Pharisee. And praise God, and if there's anybody who needs to be braggadocious about who they are in Christ Jesus, what Paul is saying,
thank you for tuning in to the Telling of His Goodness broadcast. We pray you were inspired, blessed, and encouraged from hearing the Word of God today. If you would like a copy of my book, Telling of His Goodness, you may phone me at 318-305-6965. You may like me on Facebook, connect with me on Google Plus or Twitter. May God bless you until we meet again at the same time next week.
A wonder in my
soul. I feel that, y'all. Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. I'm thirsty. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
KAYT listeners, help us welcome 100.1 FM in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I've.
Write in your word. Allow the perfect preaching, teaching, ministry of the Holy Spirit and to speak to our hearts, our minds, our spirits, Minister this word to us, God. Meet us right where we are and take us to where you'll have us to be. And God, we thank you that individually and collectively we will hear your voice today. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Genesis, chapter 12. And I want to commence reading at verse 1. Genesis chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Recorded are these words. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, facing new challenges. Facing new challenges. As we look at this word and as we see it, not only in the text, but in the context of this story before us today, it is good for us to know the background of this man, Abram, that God chose to have a relationship with, who was at this time a heathen of a paganistic country and culture, one who was not of what we would term Christianity, for he would have been Gentile status in New Testament terms, but the Lord desired to have a relationship with him. And a relationship involves two or more people. Here, God extended a challenge to him, and he, being willing to receive that God had extended to him, accepted this challenge. It was this new relationship by faith that God established with Abram, but in order to get the promises and the blessings that God desired him to have, he had to, by faith, believe and trust not only in the promise of God, but in the person of God. It is Isaiah who says that Abram was called, at that time, Abraham was called the friend of God. Abram here, because he's still functioning under his paganistic name and culture. But here, as we look at the story and see here some interesting things, because whether you here today are facing new challenges, whether it's in your finances or in your family or in your physical body, on your job or in school or whatever it is that you are challenged with today, there are some things that you must understand about new challenges. Just because something challenges one, it does not necessarily mean that one cannot conquer the challenge or be victorious in the challenge that is made. Many folk are fearful and fretful of challenges because most times there is a negative outcome that folk fear when they are presented with a challenge. Now, I want you to look at this now, because there are some interesting things. Now, this is the beginning of this relationship with God taking this man to a new level and to a new life. And there are some things that God is dealing with in him and with him, but there are some things that he must reckon with and deal with as one who is trusting God and believing God for a new life. Now, look at this, because I want you to see chapter 12, verse 1 in Genesis, the first word says what? When this challenge was presented to Abram, God wanted him at that time of the challenge to, number one, make a choice. Whenever you are presented with a challenge, you are always given an opportunity to make a choice. If you do not make a choice, then the challenge will make a choice for you. There are times in your life when you don't know which way to turn, what to do, but if you are presented with a challenge, there are options that you must opt for in those predicaments. And one is to know where the challenge came from. Did it come from God or did it come from the enemy? Because regardless of where it comes from, if you trust in God, he's going to stamp success on the challenge. But if you do not know where it comes from, then you are in a place and a state where you can oftentimes receive defeat in that situation, not knowing who issued the challenge. But if there is a trust in God, God will not leave his people blind or ignorant, especially if a challenge has been ushered or issued into their perspective and for them to act upon. God will always reveal, because the Bible says, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, that's when you're in a challenge. Acknowledge him, listen, and he shall direct thy path. And a whole lot of us need to understand that that relationship with the person and his power gives us the ability to make successful choices in a challenge. So the first thing that you've got to understand is that God is challenging him. Look at what the challenge says. The Bible says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Now, if that's not a challenge, you tell me what is. I mean, a powerful challenge. Because the second point that I want to make out it, about a challenge is this, that not only must you make a choice to accept or reject the challenge and then suffer the consequences of your decision, but secondly, if you're going to accept a challenge, it always requires a change. If a challenge has been issued, then it is obvious, conspicuously so, that you can't do the same things you've been doing to make a difference or get a difference in the challenge. So it requires that you're going to have to make some changes in your life. That's what disturbs, I'm convinced, most people about a challenge, is the fact that it's going to cause them to have to do things differently than what they're accustomed to. You know, we're all creatures of habit. We do things. We get a routine down pat, and we get it like we want it. And it seems just like when we get it like we want it, here comes something to change the routine, so we got to do it differently. I don't care who you are and where you are, what level you're on. You try and organize your life in such a way till it becomes so routine, till you can read your weekly schedule from one day's perspective, because you are in a rut or routine, depending on which it is, based upon God's plan for your life. Now, here's the thing that I'm making. The point that I'm making is that the change that must come about is a change that is ushering Abram to a whole new level and to a whole new life. The change that he is going to make is going to require something of him. It's going to make him put forth an effort to redirect and refocus all of the things within him to achieve what God is going to do for him. But all of these energies very well may begin with the first step, and that is obedience. In the change, it means I've got to obey God. But how can I obey God unless I first hear God? If I hear him, then I have to heed him, because that means he has issued a challenge to me whereby he has revealed what he wants for me. But by the same token, there are some conditions that must be met in the process. Now listen at this, because he tells him this. He says, I want you to get out from your country. Now, what's the purpose for this? Well, first of all, you need to recognize that God is causing him to make a change in every arena of his life. His country has to do with all of the pagan gods that are there and his culture and the concerns of his culture. He then goes to his kindred. That's his family, extended family and loved ones, and etc., etc. And then he goes on to his father's house. That's the customs and traditions and teachings of his father and the father and the practices thereof. He is separating him from any and everything that would keep him from following God. Listen to me carefully. You see, when you make a choice to follow God, the change may mean sometimes you've got to cut loose what's holding you back. You've got to move from where you are, where you've been restricted from allowing God to have free course. He knows there are some things you can't fight. There are some things that you cannot give up while you're still there. There are just some things, listen, I don't care. I mean, even the world has figured out that you can't stay in a situation that you are vulnerable to and change it. If you're an alcoholic, you can't stay around alcohol and talking about I'm giving up alcohol and everybody around you's drinking. I mean, because even if you decide not to drink and everybody around you's drinking, if you get too close to them, you'll get a buzz. Somebody ought to hear me here. I've talked to some folk, even some church members, they've come up, hi. And you can tell they hadn't had communion that morning. It was some wine, some drink, some something, but it wasn't holy wine. Y'all ought to hear me here. And if I'm weak to that, then that sense stirs up my senses and it makes my cravings desire some of that stuff that I ain't got strength to fight in and of myself. And then you have some person saying, oh, you can have a little bit. Have a little one for me. They have it to wake up in the morning. They have it to take them through the day. They have it, you know, during lunchtime, sociably. You know, have it at dinner time. It goes good. Wine do good for the stomach. You know, and then they got to have a nightcap. Now, that's just a little too much for me, if you ask. Somebody ought to hear me. I mean, I don't care what it is, if you're in that situation and you can't fight, you need to get away, sever the ties that bind and restrict you from doing what God's called you to do. This is what God is calling him to, but he's got to let go. He's got to make a choice to stay in the country, the culture, and the concerns of that paganistic culture that he was raised and reared in, or make a choice and change and go the way God is calling him to. It's a challenge because, listen, all of the opposition against the will of God are people and places that know not this God that desires to have this relationship with Abram. So they don't understand what he's talking about. And can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, when God speaks to you and not to those around you, they won't understand you. But what you've got to be sure of is that it was God who spoke to you. Because if you are sure that it is God who has spoken to you, regardless of who you are or where you are going to have opposition, because when you change, it's going to cause a change in other people's lives. And some folk don't want you to change because they don't want to change. And it's like you've got to be careful around all of the naysayers and the doubters and those who would steal your dreams and try to crush your vision and try to keep you from going up just because they don't want to change. It's comfortable here. And a whole lot of folk would rather you stay where you are so they can stay where they are. Look at this, because listen to what the Bible says. He says in the first verse again, unto a land that I will show thee. Now here he does not know where he's going. He's been told that he's got to uproot from everything and everybody he knows who's still a part of that culture, that country, and those concerns, and trust God. Now God is wise, because listen at where he's pulling Abram to. He's pulling Abram from all of his security, all of his leaning posts and our support systems, to a point and a place where he's got to totally depend on God. Can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, when God has something for you, sometime he'll cause all of those things you've been leaning and depending on you to fall right from under you. So you can totally depend and lean. Did I ever tell you that the word said he's a jealous God? And if you belong to him and you start spending more time with others other than him, he gets jealous. Anybody that's ever been in any relationship that's real know that you have a problem when you're in love with somebody and they are spending more time with other folk. I don't care if it's their mama. Come on, talk to me and be real up in here. You got a problem with that. God has a problem. You say, I really love the Lord, but you don't spend no time with him. You do not put him first in your life. You're so caught up in you and your secular routine every day. And it disturbs me when I hear church folk, Christians, who say they have to have a cup of coffee first thing in the morning to get started. And some of those Christians who are not converted say they got to have their cigarette. Come on, help me. I know y'all know somebody like that. God's got a problem with that because you're making your coffee, I don't care if it's community or whatever the name brand is, and your cigarette, whatever the name brand of it, you are making those things your God because God wants you the first thing in the morning to talk with him first, to fellowship with him first. The Christian ought to say, I can't do nothing else till I have talked with God first in the morning. That's what God requires and desires from us in a relationship and fellowship. So here he is with Abram, moving him away from all of the old habits and the situations and the circumstances that he was accustomed to cause him to totally depend upon God. And look at what the Bible says. And the Bible says in finishing verse of that, in finishing portion of first verse, unto a land that I will show thee. Now, if it weren't enough that he had to give up everything he knew, what would make the rest of this challenge difficult is to say, I'm sending you to a place you don't know about yet. Now, I want to tell you something, because here Abram had to do a third thing now. First of all, he had to make a choice. Second thing he had to do was make a change. But the third thing he had to do was to channel all of his faith and all of his resources and all of his thinking on that God was going to do for him. Now, I need you to hear me, because this is so important. Sometimes we have faith to get us out, but we don't have faith to keep us up. I think I'll say that again. Sometime when you hear from God, you will be so stirred and moved in your faith till you'll make the first step. And you'll do, get out, go to that place, start what he said. But then somewhere in the midst of that, you lose what you ought to have to focus yourself, to channel all of your resources back on what God said. You have to, my brother, my sister, in the midst of your challenge, channel everything in you on what God said. I don't care what it looks like. God, you said. I don't care what it feels like. Because sometimes you're going to be lonely. Sometimes you're going to shed tears. Sometimes you're going to feel like, Lord, where am I in this process? You're too far away from home, but you're not yet close to your destination. You don't see anything familiar around you. It's almost like, Lord, what have I gotten myself into? That's when you've got to channel all that's in you on the word of God. Now look at what he had to hold on to, because this is what God says. Verse 2 says, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Now remember this now, he's having to give up everything. But can I tell you, whenever you give up everything for God, God is under warrant to bless you greater than you ever knew possible. So he's asking him to give up everything that he knows, but in place of what he's giving up, God is saying, I'm going to give you some things you've never dreamed of before. The first thing God says to him is, I will make of thee a great nation. Out of you, I am going to raise a nation. Now, this is interesting, seeing as though this man and his wife to this point has not been able to conceive, have a child, bring life into this world. The man is 75 years old, and God is saying, of thee.
meaning this that I have placed in you is going to come forth. I'm going to make of you a great nation. It's not going to be you of yourself. It is going to be the power and the anointing that I place upon you and your life that's going to bring this to pass. Now look at what else he says. Not only am I going to make a great nation of you, but he says, I will bless you. Now, can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, nothing is more comforting when you have given up everything and stood firmly on God's word to know that if no man ever decides he want to bless you again, that God says, I will bless thee. This is God's promise to him. This is what he's channeling his faith upon. Look again at what the Bible says. He says, and make thy name great. How is God going to make his name great? He's going to make his name great through the faith and obedience through which this man will operate. Isaiah records that he's called a friend of God. He has a great name because of his relationship and fellowship with God and because of what God is doing in his life. If he's going to be a father of a nation, and if we are going to be blessed, all families of the earth, according to the word of God, then that means that God is going to give him a posterity. He's going to spread him not just in the physical realm, but also in the spiritual realm. Because remember now, he's moving him from his country, but he's going to give him a new one. He's moving him from his kindred, but he's going to give him a new kindred. He's moving him from his father's house and his fellowship with him, and he's making himself as Abram's father. He's giving him a new relationship. But then look at this. If he says all of the families of the earth shall be blessed of you, here takes on a spiritual connotation, because I am seed of Abraham, descended not naturally and biologically, but spiritually I am. And every believer who says he is a part of Jesus Christ is as well, because he is the father of faith. You didn't know God outside of God's word and the faith that God placed in you and the Spirit of God that moved upon you so that you would by faith accept him. How did this come to being? Through the door that God opened up through Abraham. So when you see this and understand this, then you begin to understand the promises on which Abram channeled all of his energies on when things got rough. Look at what also the Bible says, verse 3, and I will bless them that bless thee. Now, the first time God said, I will bless you, that was non-negotiable, non-discussable, non-debatable. But now the second time he talks about a blessing, that's optional when y'all wake up. Because what he's saying is, whenever God makes you great, people like to sow into things that are great, things that has God's anointing upon it, things that God has approved. And so these things, God is saying, according to this word, I will bless them that bless thee. Now, here is the blessed part about it for both the one who blesses and the one who receives the blessing. God says to the people, if you will bless Abram, I will bless you. Now, God is doing this because even in the eastern countries and even in kingdoms, etc., etc., whenever you went into the presence of greatness, you brought gifts and you honored them and you gave to them and paid to them homage or homage, and you bless them. Now, God is saying every time they sow into your life, Abram, I'm going to bless them. Now, Abram didn't have to do it. God said he was going to do it. Now, here is the comfort for the sower, that you know where your blessings are coming from. Not in the person that you sowed, but from the one who says, if you sow, I'm going to take care of you for doing that. Now, the second part is this, because there is, and I want us to hear all of it, those that curse, and that's in the same book. When it talks about him, singular, talking about taking it all the way back to the source. But while the source uses vessels and the source uses different individuals and personalities, the Bible says if you curse Abram, guess who? Abram didn't have to curse back. Now, I think you need to know there is a difference between curse and cuss. Now, they're talking about curse. They ain't talking about cussing now. Cursing this having to do with trying to bring down, trying to tear down, trying to bind and destroy the blessings. And anybody who tried to destroy, bring down, or burden, or bother the blessings of Abram, God says, I'm going to curse them. And you're going to see this later in the story. Now look at what this Bible says. It says in verse 3, the conclusion, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. If God's going to move through him and use him, he's making clear, because this is the challenge. All this is the challenge. He has not at this point acted upon. He's getting all of the information, getting the understanding,